This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and you're listening to Her Vantage. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I remember word around town that there was this bold and brassy stand-up female comedian in Boom Boom Room in the 90s. Obviously, I had to see this for myself. She was indeed larger than life, and 30 years on, she's still going strong. Stand-up comedy is known to be specifically a male-dominated industry. Joanne Kam, however, managed to go against the current and earn the title of Malaysia's Queen of Comedy with her bold and raunchy comedic nature. She's done radio, comedy, and quite recently, her roast pork business. And we're here to talk today about her journey being a comedian, how she started business, and how she stays relevant in today's technology day and age. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Frida. Oh my God, finally you're interviewing me. No, because we always meet up in corporate shows and all that, and you're always the MC or the mediator, and I'm the one that, you know, come out and tell my hums up joke, right?
And then I have to taper people down. But anyway, I've been wanting to do this for the longest time, and I think this is great because it's your 30th anniversary.
Yes,
right?
And we'll
talk about that in just a moment. But I want to, you know, go back down memory lane about how initially you wanted to be an air stewardess.
I really wanted to be an air stewardess. You know, when Form 5, they will give you a form where you have to choose the three career paths you want. I don't know, maybe it was for Form 6 or university. So I was so stressed that the first one I wrote was air stewardess, even though I was a fat kid, right? Then the second one was an actress. Then the third one, I just tembak lah, doctor. But I knew it would never happen, you know, because, you know, me and science just doesn't work, right? Yeah, so I guess landing on my second career option as a actress, comedian, and et cetera, kind of work. But yeah, I don't know what I was thinking about.
Now, okay, I know that your early story, I want to know how you got into comedy. I know you were acting at Hopa Villa in Singapore or something.
Mm-mm. Okay, I'll tell you something even better. I'll tell you how it actually happened, okay? So I was in JB, right? So as you know, JB is full of karaoke's. So it was either go down to Singapore to audition for this theme park, or to stay in JB at that time to be a clinic nurse. I was a clinic nurse. Actually, I was doing not bad. You know, I could read the doctor's writing and all that. So my mom actually wanted me to join NUS. Is that the hospital, right? Right. Yeah. She wanted me to join the any Singapore hospital because she say, you know, you'll be a nurse, it'll be a proper job, you know, you can marry a doctor. That's our mother's thing, right? So when I saw the newspaper advertisement for performers, I was like, hey, I really want to try this. Okay, so I made a pact with my mom. I said, okay, they're both in Singapore. You give me money to go and audition, and at the same time, I will go and also see this nursing for nurses lah, you know? So I went there and I did both interviews. And both of them came back positive. So it was either I choose being a nurse in a Singapore hospital or a performer. So, of course, I chose the latter one. So that's how imagine if I become a nurse, I guess I won't be talking to you now.
Okay. Now, when you decided to be the actress thing, right, and you went back and told
it's
your
the
mother,
thing.
How was her reaction?
She wanted to disown me. She said I'll have a bad life. She doesn't. I mean, I think that goes for any performer who say they wanted to be in the arts and all that, you know. So, yeah, it was a struggle, but she still gave me money to go to Singapore to start, you know, rent a room and all that and start up. So that was very good for me. I was 19, actually. So in that aspect, I guess I just started early. I mean, there was no money for me to go for college and all that at that time. My father had passed away. So it was choose a work, just work so that you can earn money. That was it.
Right. Okay. Now, of course, you ended up in Boom Boom Room, right? And, mm-mm. you know, what was, you know, this was life before the internet. So mm-mm. there was not a lot of social media going on. But, you know, what was it like? And I'm sure it was like, was there any backlash?
Well, the thing was this. My mom never really saw me in Boom Boom Room. She passed away when I was 21. So that was 2 years when I joined Harper. And when she passed away, I was still in Harper. So she didn't see the explosion of Joanne Kam and, you know, the whole shebang, Malaysian Queen of Comedy, that kind of thing. All it didn't, you know, it didn't happen. So she could never assess that I was going to be, how would you say, a success.
It's tough, this industry, this space as well, right? And then you were one of, I don't think there were any other female comedians at that time.
Well, honestly, when we started in Singapore, there wasn't even stand-up comedy at that time. And Boom Boom Room, of course, was held by Kuma. A lot of people didn't know that Kuma and me were actually from Upper Villa. I even have a picture of him in a Chinese costume with me when we did our celestial walk around the park. That's what we call it. So he joined Boom Boom Room, and he wasn't even supposed to be the star. The singers and the dancers were supposed to be the star, but they all needed to get changed, right? So he, as the MC, needed to kill time on stage because it's not like these people could change in 1 second, could they? You know, so he had to come out every time to talk about something. So what he did was go to the bookshop and just grab all the true, you know, those joke books, Truly Tasters, Volume 1, 2, Mother-in-Law Jokes, Father-in-Law Jokes, Uncle-in-Law Jokes, Dirty Joke, whatever books he could get, he got them. And then he started regurgitating those jokes on stage. 6 months later, he invited me for a guest spot, and after that, the owners of Boom Boom Room just came out and offered me his co-host position. Yeah, so that's how it happened. When we first started, we didn't even know that this was stand-up comedy. For us, it was like, okay, I'm the host, I need to buy time for the dancers, and that was it. It was a very different mentality work, you know? And even that, you don't have internet. Even the ones, the comedians at that time were people like, you know, what do you call this? Ellen DeGeneres, which wasn't very good. Margaret Cho, my favorite. Okay. You have all this OG, you know, OG comedians. It's not like now you have Comedy Central, you have all these other comedians, you have different types. It's all out there, you know? So that's how we started.
Wow. What a journey it's been. Okay, now I have to, I'll go back into your 30th anniversary a little later, but I want to talk about you in radio, right? Okay,
yes.
You're taking a hiatus now. Now, was radio also something that you wanted to do, or was it also accidental?
Actually, it started all the way a long time ago. I was invited to do something in Mix, and then after that, it went on. And then after that, AFO came about. Capital FM came about. That was one of the best, but one of the most challenging times. Then I went to Red. And now with AFO, of course, I have more leeway and flexibility. We're only taking a hiatus because we're waiting for a new studio. We want Utama to open. Yay! Got green screen all. So until construction, I think it's going to be like either we move in end of May or something like that, we were told.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit now about, you know, what happened during the pandemic. What did you do during the pandemic? In just a moment, I'm here with Joanne Kam, you know, Malaysia's Queen of Comedy. Stay tuned to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to to Her Vantage on Enterprise, Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Joanne Kam, Malaysia's queen of comedy. You know, so what happened during the pandemic? I know you still are selling roast pork.
Yes, yes. Well, here's the thing. We closed one of my dream shows, which was Queens of Asia, in March. I've always wanted to bring down 3 to 4 international female headliners. And I managed to do that last year. 1 week after that, Malaysia went on lockdown. We were supposed to bring the show to Singapore as well. You know, we had very good numbers in Singapore. But on Wednesday or Thursday, I remember this so clearly, Malaysia announced lockdown. It was so funny. I called the hotel in Singapore and said, it's not that I don't want to come. I can't come. And they're like, it's okay, miss. I'll refund you the money. So coming from that high, and then I think when the first MCO happened, a lot of people was like, never mind, 1 month only, 1 month, 2 months only. You know, that's our mentality, right? And then after 2 months, there was really nothing. And of course, the people that got hit the most were in the events and entertainment scene. So 2 months after that, there was really no money coming in. I was owing my rent and all that. And so I decided to, okay, let's just, because at that time, a lot of the home cooks also started putting out their fares on Facebook groups and all that. And I saw that, okay, people started selling things. Maybe I can sell this because I'm confident that my roast pork is the best crack in town. Because it is. So I'm like, okay, I just want to do this. I just want to sell roast pork and see how it goes. And it went very well. I target myself. I will only do 10 a week, you know. And the first 5 to 6 weeks, every week was sold out. In fact, some weeks I had to make more. And then after the 5th week, I don't even need my friends to support me anymore. You know, when you first started, okay, all my friends and my fans, you know, and I have to be very thankful for them because they were like, okay, I will order to support, you know. Some don't even eat pork, but they'll order to support and give it to other people, you know. So that was really nice. But then after that, then I started advertising in different groups. I call them the auntie group because they're all like, yeah, auntie like me, right? And all the food groups, but they were very supportive. And I think it's also because a lot of people know me as Joanne Kam. So before that, it was very unreachable. Now it's like, wow, you can get a handful now, but you must order pork from her lah. So it's been very good. I've now diversified into doing nasi lemak siu yok. I also do the buns, you know. I do these hoagie buns with siu yok and different sauces. Okay, but I must say that it's easier if I were to go into a food fair or something, because then I'm there for a couple of days, so it's easier for me to just concentrate on doing that, and then people just come and get from me. Yeah.
Will you continue doing this even after the pandemic?
Yes, I'm actually looking to open up a pop-up cafe. So I'm looking around for spaces. Anybody want to invest in Kam? You can come talk to me. Yeah, but that's eventually where I'm going. A little pop-up place, a little art space where people can come, taste my crack, drink a little bit of syrup bandung.
Okay. Looking at now, there are more women in comedy, but even in your years as an entertainer, right? Mm-mm. Was there any gender bias issues?
Of course.
Tell me about some.
Well, here's the thing. You can even see it now. Every show is all men. All men. Only now in the US, you know, you cannot have an all-male show. All right? And there are some male comedians who will see the lineup, and if they see the lineup that it's all male, they will themselves take themselves out of that show. Of course, that doesn't happen here. I must say, it's still all male. I mean, just look at the recent live event. You get what I mean or not?
Yeah.
Comedians. But here's the thing. You also need to be good. I mean, I always tell my other female comics, they will put you in, but you have to be better or be as good on their platform. So it's a bit hard because over here in Malaysia, there are, I've seen potential female comedians, but not all of them are international level yet. So it's a bit here and there as well. So you need to be good. That's one. But yes, it is a male dominating scene. Usually they'll bring their bros along, you know. For example, like a show in Thailand, all right, I know two of my male comedians who are friends always go to Thailand, you know, but I know I'm just as good, if not better than them, okay? But they never ask me to go, you know? Then one day I'm like irritated, I'm like, why you never ask me to go? Then they say, no, and I know why, because it's their bros, like, hey, bro, come now, bro. But it takes other comedians from other countries who are not Malaysian to invite me to Thailand to perform.
Right. And here's the thing you were saying earlier on, right? You have to be better almost, right? All the time, right? But what's really great also, I remember before the lockdown, you know, the female comedians got together and did their own show. And yes, this is where you create your own opportunities.
Of course. You have to take the opportunity to produce. Like, I started producing all my shows I produce, even the smaller ones, you know, even the ones in the comedy clubs. I have a hand in producing it. I pick my fellow comics, my openers and all that. So, yeah, that's one way to go about it. If you feel that, you know, you are worth it, and if you feel that your content draws your own audience, produce. Don't wait for people to call you.
Okay, you have to create your own opportunities, right? You know, over the years as well, how do you, you know, stay ahead of the game? How do you improve yourself? How have you been doing that?
Well, honestly, material is material. And it's pretty scary for stand-up comedians because as a singer, you can sing My Heart Will Go On 1 million times. People will still want to hear that song. But with comedians, once the joke is out there, it's out there. And even if you love that comic, when you go and sit down, even international comedians, I'm talking about people like your Russell Peters and all that, they have their set. And honestly, with stand-up comedy, your set only become mature around 2 years. You get what I mean? So all I can say right now is just keep on writing. And the thing is scary for us because the writing needs to come from a personal aspect, especially when you're in a business for more than 10 years. Right. So you can see those after 10 years, how they have improved on their writing, 20 years, 30 years. So it's also a different game. When you're a new comic, you talk about things that are relevant to people. You know, as you grow older and more mature, I think the kind of jokes that you tell becomes more meaningful because it invokes part of your life as well. So I'm sure like the new jokes that will be coming out soon will be a touch on, you know, how we survive MCO and all the other things.
Right. I think comedy is one of the most difficult things to do because the reaction is immediate and it's just really tough. You know, I'm just like, I think one of the things in life I want to do like 1 minute or maybe 3 minutes and just do it just to see what it's like because it is so difficult, so challenging.
Well, if you want to, there are a lot of open mics. Frida, I will impart my knowledge and train you for your 3 minute set.
So it is your 30th anniversary. You know, congratulations for being in this space for 30 years, right? How will you be celebrating your 30th anniversary?
Well, we are targeting a big one-woman show towards the end of maybe October or November, discussing dates at the moment. And that will be all new material, of course. I will be taking the audience through my 30 years in entertainment journey. Of course, it has to start with Harper Villa. And then I guess it will end with my year surviving MCO, my crack and everything else. Yeah, so that will be towards the end of this year. And we are going to make it a big, because it is 30 years, you know, it is 30 years, yeah, you know. So I guess you could say that I'll be celebrating it on stage. Mm.
And I guess, like, what's the future for the next 30 years, Joanne Kam? Can you see it?
I want to say I may join politics, but never say never.
Never say never. But I think all positions are filled there already.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
No. I mean, like, well, there are a few things of my. I'm a woman with a lot of plans, so we'll see which one. You know, I'm the type, you know, I have 10 plans and 3 survive.
Okay.
But at least I start with 10.
Right.
I mean, this is my, I guess this is how I've always worked on like life, right? You know, I say, okay, go do this. If 10 doesn't happen, 3 happen, at least it's still 3.
Well, all the best with everything. I've been speaking to you. To Joanne Kam, Malaysia's Queen of Comedy. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.